years old. Yuck, I shudder and glance to the empty room on my right. It's between the library and music room. I'd open it up with wide windows and make it a sunroom and spend every morning with my coffee in there. And my imagination chooses now to wake up. Great. Once in the kitchen, Declan says, "What would you like for dinner?" "A big burger and tavern tots from Highland Tavern." I sit in a stool and brace my chin in my hand on the island. "I don't know where that is." "It's in Denver. I've been craving it like crazy." I shrug. "Really good burger joint." "Huh, well, I can go grab burgers here, but it's going to take time to get your Highland Tavern, and I'm hungry now." "I don't want to go anywhere, and I don't want you to go anywhere. Let's just order pizza." He nods and circles the island, then just hugs me.
"Sure you okay?"
"Yeah, I'm just thinking about the houses we saw today. I think I'll pass on all three."
"We'll find you something."
I nod and smile, tired of moping and being a Debbie Downer. I do my best to shake off my mood and playfully grab Declan's ass. "I'm hungry too. Are you gonna feed me or what?"
"I'll feed you," he says after kissing my chin.
He pulls his phone out and dials the pizza place we both like, places our order, and reaches out for my hand.
"Let's eat and lounge upstairs. We can watch Netflix and be lazy."
"Perfect. I'm gonna take my pants off."
"That is an excellent plan," he says with a laugh.
The main stairway in this house is grand and dramatic. I'd refinish the banister and hang a more modern chandelier over the landing. There are four empty bedrooms upstairs, and I'd love to knock down a couple of walls, make the spaces bigger. Stop it. This is not my house. I have to stop renovating Declan's house in my head. I don't live here, and I probably never will. Declan's right. I'll find my place. The pizza arrives faster than we expected, so he fetches it while I shimmy out of my jeans and climb in bed, under the covers and everything. I grab his pillow and bury my face in it, breathing him in. I fucking love the way he smells.
"Okay, despite my better judgment, I had the mad mushrooms because I know you like them," Declan announces as he returns to the room.
He stops on a dime in the middle of the space, holding a big box of pizza, sodas, and a bag of bread, and just stares at me. "What?" He takes a deep breath and shakes his head, then walks the rest of the way to me.
"You're just beautiful. Sometimes you take my breath away."
I blink at him, completely thrown. Declan is a mellow man, but he's also an artist, and with his artist's heart comes a romantic side. He has a sweet habit of knocking me back a step with it because I never know when it's going to show up. "Thank you."
"The show comes on in 15, Adam announces, and changes the channel on the big TV in the back of the bar to the travel channel.
I can't believe they were here only a month ago and it's already going to air. The Odyssey isn't packed this evening, and that's okay with me. It's a Monday after all, and deep into autumn. I'm nervous about the show, how I'll look, how the bar will look. Having a huge crowd here would only make it worse. I grin down the bar at Declan. Of course he came to watch it with me. He calms me. I've never told him that, but I'm pretty sure he knows. He checks an incoming text on his phone and frowns, replies, and lays the phone face down on the bar. I cock a brow when he looks at me, but he shakes his head as if it's no big deal. Must be work. A large group comes through the doors, laughing and chatting, catching all of our attention, and I feel my jaw drop as I realize it's the entire Boudreaux family, even Declan's mama. "Hi, everyone!" I smile at them all and then look questioningly at Declan, but he just smiles. "What are you all doing?"
"Well, we came to watch the show, of course," Declan's mom says and winks at me. "This place sure is beautiful. No wonder they wanted to put it on television."
"Thank you."
"We mostly want to watch Deck make an ass of himself," Beau says as he claps Declan on the back. "That's your job, big brother," Declan replies.
Well, have a seat wherever you like, and I'll have my cocktail waitress come get your drink orders. I walk over to Declan and lean in so only he can hear me. Did you know this was happening?
I told Beau and Eli about it when we worked out together yesterday. I didn't know that they used the family phone tree to fill everyone else in, but I think it's nice.
It's better than nice, I reply. I just didn't expect it.
They like you, he says simply, kisses my cheek, and joins his family, just as the opening credits of the show begin.
The room grows quiet as we watch, and I'm thankful The Odyssey is the first bar showcased in the show, because waiting until the end would be pure torture.
Looking good, Callie,
Reese calls out to me when I first appear on camera, and the other boys whistle and catcall.
I'll break your fingers, Declan says in that smooth way he has, as if he was saying, the weather sure is nice.
You should have let Charlie do your makeup, Deck, Eli says when it's Declan's turn on the screen. You might have looked prettier.
Boys,
their mama says sternly, and all three of them pout as if they're tiny children again, making me laugh.
You wore the shoes, Charlie exclaims.
Of course, I reply. I love those shoes. When our segment is over, which feels like it was 3 seconds and 3 hours all at once, we all applaud and cheer. I'm happy with the results. They made the bar look hip, fun, and classy, and that's exactly the atmosphere I'm looking for. Having Adam with me, and Declan's family too, is just icing on the cake.
Everyone's gone, Declan says after coming back in from walking his family to their cars, and they had fun.
Me too, I grin, and catch a look that passes between Declan and Adam.
Hey, Callie, I think there's something on the roof that needs your attention, Adam says.
The roof? The roof is closed.
Well, the movement sensors went off, so you should go see what's up.
I frown and cock my hip, my hand braced on it.
You're too chicken shit to go up to the roof, so you're sending a musician and his girlfriend to check it out?
Hey, I may be a musician, but I can kick serious ass when I have to, Declan says.
I can too, I reply with a wink. Okay, let's check it out. I've told you for years, Adam, this place is haunted. We climb the stairs and I find nothing out of place in the bar area. And then, when I step out onto the terrace, I stop cold. One of the fire pits is lit, and on the table is a spread of food from my favorite restaurant. The Highland Tavern.
Declan, I breathe and rush to the table. How?
I have resources, he says with a smile. I also have cupcakes from Nick's shop in Seattle.
I turn and simply look at him, my arms hanging limply up my sides. He did this for me. This took planning and work, and he did it for me. Thank you.
You're welcome.
He takes my hand and kisses my knuckles.
Let's eat before it gets cold.
It's hot? I grab a burger and bite into heaven. Oh my God.
Of course it's hot, he replies with a smirk. You can't eat cold burgers.
Seriously, this is ridiculous, I say, around a huge bite of burger.
That it's hot?
No. Yes, I laugh. It's ridiculous that you had this flown in.
You wanted it.
He shrugs as if it's no big deal and takes a bite of his own burger.
Wow, that's amazing.
Told you.
I'll have this flown in every week, he says, reaching for a tot.
That's excessive, I reply with a laugh.
No, I think it's necessary.
We fall into a comfortable silence as we munch on our food, and when all that's left is oily wrappers, he pulls me to him and snuggles me close. Delicious, I say with a contented sigh.
Yes, you are,
he murmurs while nibbling on my neck. The food.
That too.
I want cupcakes. He smiles, reaches for a box on the floor, and hands it to me. It's a plain white gift box with a red ribbon wrapped around it. Inside are a dozen cupcakes, all different flavors, and a note.
Would Nick send a note? I ask, but Declan just shrugs. He's no help.
Calliope. I'm so proud of you. Tonight should be special. You've earned it. Thank you for spending it with me.
Thank you for being mine.
Yours, Declan.
Oh my.
Declan, I slip the note back in the envelope and lay it on the table.
You what?
Tell him you love him. Now's the best time.
But I'm such a damn wimp.
Tonight wouldn't have been half as special without you, and not just because of all this, which I love, but because when I'm with you,
he kisses my hand and squeezes it three times.
When you're with me?
I just feel better. I feel more.
His eyes widen and then darken. Emotions are brighter, and that's the only way I can describe it.
I think that's a beautiful way to describe it. He whispers before he pulls me in and kisses the hell out of me.
You are more, Kelly. We're more.
I nod and brush my fingertips down his cheek, his neck.
I like it.
A slow smile spreads over his sexy face. I like it too.
Chapter 14. Declan. I wake up needing her. I'm not jolted awake out of a dream or because of a noise in the house. It's because I need her. And I'm not only hard as a stone, but I'm sweaty with it. I roll over. The moon is shining in the window, casting a blue glow over the bed, and there she is, with her back to me, curled up in a ball, sleeping peacefully. Her arm is over the covers, the bright colors of her ink perfectly lit up by the moon. I became addicted to the pain. That there was ever a time in her life that she needed the pain as an outlet for her feelings pulls a sorrow, a longing, from so deep inside me it almost renders me breathless. And the fact that she pulled herself together and became what she is now makes me burst with pride. I reach over and trace the ink with the pad of my forefinger, smiling when she lets out a soft moan. Her noises are the best music I've ever heard. The way she breathes when I'm inside her. The way her muscles tighten around my cock, around my body. I've never been with anyone like her, and I know I never will be again. She's mine. Callie is it for me, and I know it's going to take patience while she comes around to the idea, but she'll get there. I'm nothing if not patient. Some would call me too laid back, or even lazy. But the truth is, I just know how to bide my time. I smile as she leans back into my touch, still sound asleep. The connection we have can't be explained with words. It just exists, like electricity, or the moving of the tides by that bright moon. God knows I feel both the energy and the pull of her, even when we're not together. I let my hand drift around to her chest and gently roll her already hard nipple through my fingers, then slide down her flat stomach and firmly urge her onto her back so I can part her legs, brushing my knuckles over the soft flesh of her thighs. She moans and cracks her eyes open.
Time is it?
No idea, I whisper, and kiss her belly as I work my way down. She threads her fingers through my hair over and over again with a sweet touch. And when I open her center to me and place a deep kiss over her pussy, those fingers clench in my hair, not pulling me closer, but holding on while the first jolt of pleasure bursts through her.
Oh my,
she breathes, then catches her breath again when my lips close over her clit and suck, not hard, but in a persistent rhythm. My face is rocking against her, and I can't get enough of her. I love the way she tastes, her scent, all of it. I could camp out here all night. But I need her. I need to be inside her, to claim her. It's primal, and 100% male ego, and I don't fucking care.
Love you,
she whispers, just as I push two fingers inside her, and my world just tilted on its axis. Love you too, I reply softly, but she's whimpering, her lip caught between her teeth, already in that incredible place she goes when the pleasure takes over. It's the damnedest thing to watch. I kiss both her thighs, her flat stomach, then over to her side. Sex with Callie is usually fierce and passionate, fast, hard, maybe a little dirty. But tonight I want to savor, enjoy, love. My body covers hers, her legs are hitched around my hips, and her arms are wrapped around my back. Her clean face is sleepy and happy, and as I slip inside her, we both sigh at how damn good it feels.
It's always different,
she murmurs. Just when I think I know exactly how you feel, you surprise me. I grin, seated inside her to the hilt, and kiss her neck, then drag my lips up to her earlobe. I want to keep surprising you. She cups my cheek and guides my lips to hers, and for several long minutes I move at a slow, leisurely pace in and out of her while I make love to her mouth. I link my fingers with hers, squeeze, and pin her hand over her head, using it as leverage as I pick up the pace just a bit, adding a little more force to each thrust. Not to change the tone of the moment, but to kick up her own need just a notch because I don't know how much longer I'm going to last. Jesus, she's sweet, tight. Mine.
Love the way you feel,
she whispers and grabs my ass with her free hand, pulling me against her, and I can feel the tension building. Her back arches and her pussy tightens around me, making my eyes cross.
Your pubic bone hits me in just the right damn spot.
Callie, go over, baby. She cries out, then whimpers softly as she surrenders to the orgasm and pulls me over with her. We're quiet. The room is hushed as we fall apart, then cling to each other and fall back together, catching our breath. I brush the hair off her face and kiss her softly, then roll us to our sides, wrap her up against me, and kiss her forehead.
Sleepy,
she mumbles, and before I can reply, she slipped away, back into sleep. I want this, every night. Over the past year or so, my brothers, plus Ben and Reese, have started getting together a couple of times a month for a guy night. Mostly we play pool, drink beer, and rag on each other. It's generally a good time, and as much as we all love our women, it's nice to not have any estrogen around for a little while. Not that we'd ever admit that to them. Tonight, we're in a dive bar a few blocks from the quarter, playing pool and watching Monday Night Football. We usually gather at Ben's, but he's having work done on his place. Mine's not ready, and the others have that estrogen I mentioned earlier. So, dive bar it is. Nine ball corner, Eli says and takes his shot, easily sinking the ball. So you're moving into town? I ask Bo as he watches Eli survey the table. Bo has lived on the inn property since Gabby opened to keep an eye on things there and to protect Gabby and Sam. Yeah, I'm moving into the loft next to Eli's townhouse, he confirms. There's no need for me to be out at the inn now that Reese is there. We told you 100 times, Reese says and smirks when Eli misses his next shot. We don't mind if you stay. Your house is separate from the inn. You're not in anyone's way. It makes sense to move into town, Bo says. I won't have to commute to work anymore. The loft will do just fine until I find something else to buy. Are you looking for a house? Ben asks. I think I saw a house about a block from me come up on the market. Not yet, Bo replies. Although I do love the Garden District. How's your house coming along? Reese asks me. It's coming, one room at a time, I reply with a shrug. No hurry. Declan's never in a hurry for anything, Eli says, but he smiles over at me with affection. It's not a dig, it's the truth. I simply shrug just as my phone rings. This is Declan. Hey man, it's Adam. Are you available to chat? Sure, what's up? No, I mean in person. Is Callie okay? I ask with a frown. She's great. I'd just like to talk to you in person. Ben raises a brow, but I just shrug. Sure. I'm at the Big Boy. It's a bar and I know it. See you in 10? See you then. I hang up and frown. What's that about? Eli asks as he takes a shot and misses, then swears a blue streak when Ben laughs at him. Not sure. Adam, Callie's friend, is on his way to chat. Uh-oh, Reese says and pats my shoulder. Good luck with that. What does that mean? Means he's going to want to have the same chat with you that we all had with Reese last year, Beau says. You guys didn't scare me, Reese insists. You didn't have any reason to be afraid, Eli replies. What did you do, Deck? I didn't do anything, I say and cross my arms over my chest, lean back against the bar and watch Eli at the table. I'm glad we get to watch this, Ben says and cracks his knuckles. Just so you know, if he takes a swing at you, we have your back. Maybe, Beau says. Depends on what he did. I didn't do anything, I reply, my voice hard just as Adam walks through the door, surveys the room, then walks toward me when he sees me at the bar in the back of the place. He doesn't look angry. His face is calm, his walk loose and relaxed. Doesn't look mad, Reese murmurs, reading my mind. Hey, Adam, I say and shake his hand. You remember my brothers. I do. Hi, everyone. He nods at them, then turns to me. Can we talk? You bet. He glances at the others and then at me. We can talk in front of them, I tell him. They're a vault, and I don't have anything to hide. Fair enough. He sits on a stool to my right and shakes his head at the bartender when asked if he wants anything to drink. I'd like to talk about Callie. Told you, Beau says, earning a look from me that says, shut it. Shoot, I say, and lean against the bar, facing him. Look, her dad's gone, and I'm the only man in her life that gives a fuck about her. You and I have been friends for a long time, and I like you, but I love her. He stops and frowns, looking down at his hands, and I suddenly respect my friend more than I ever have. You have a history, Declan. He's a man whore, Eli says from across the room. Not helping, I say mildly. No, he's right, Adam says with a chuckle. You are. So am I, so I know it when I see it. And you want to make sure that Callie isn't just another notch in my bedpost, I say, nodding. She's better than that, Adam says simply. She's better than any of us. Damn, Ben whispers. I like him. Honestly, Eli says as he sets his cue down and walks towards us. I've been wondering what's going on there, too. I think we all have, Reese says. I know I haven't been in the picture for long, but even I know that you're not a one-woman kind of guy, Deck. I frown, suddenly ashamed of myself for the first time in my life where women are concerned. In the past, I always made it clear that if I was with a woman, it wasn't going to be long-term. We had fun together, and we went our separate ways, no harm, no foul. But it never occurred to me that it could have caused hurt feelings, and that leaves a bad taste in my mouth. I glance around at the guys I respect most in the world, and then let out a gusty breath. The truth? No. Lie to us, moron, Beau says and rolls his eyes. I love her, I say, enjoying the way the words roll off my tongue. Adam's right. She's better than any of us. She's probably too fucking good for me, but I'm so damn in love with her, I can't breathe. Well, that's just the sweetest thing, the bartender says, wiping a tear from her eye, eavesdropping unapologetically. Adorable, Adam agrees, but he's not smiling. But that doesn't really ease my mind. What do you want from me? I ask. I want to know where you plan to take this. Is she fun for now, and when you decide you're not in love with her anymore, you move on to the next thing? I should fucking deck you for that. It's a fair question, Ben says quietly. Look, Callie and I have known each other for about 4 minutes. It's early, way too early to put a ring on it, especially for Callie. She doesn't trust easily, and she definitely doesn't make life-changing decisions in just a few months' time. You're evading, Adam says. and you forget that I know her. I agree. If you dropped to one knee and pulled out a rock, she'd run screaming into the night. I frown, hating that he's right. But, he continues, that doesn't mean that you haven't already thought about what you want. I want her, all of her. I stand and pace to the pool table, then back to Adam. I am in love with her, not for a month or until she irritates me, for good. I plan to make her mine, but damn it, it's not as easy as just deciding it and expecting her to fall in line. She has a say. You're damn right she has a say, Adam replies, smiling now. And you've told me all I need to know. You're going to make a good dad someday, Reese says to Adam. I hope you have a girl. No kids for me, pal, Adam replies, then shudders and takes a swig of my beer. Unlike Declan, I'm a player for life. That's what I thought, man. I clap him on the back and motion to the bartender, who's smiling at me with bona fide hard eyes, for another beer. I think we've all thought that at some point, Eli adds with a shrug. And then you meet the person that turns your life upside down and you can't remember why you thought that way in the first place. My brother is one smart bastard. Not me, man, Adam insists, less forcefully now. I'm out of here. You're all too mushy for me. We're not mushy, Ben says with a frown. We're respectful. Hey, I respect women, Adam says. They're the strongest creatures on this earth. I just don't intend to have to choose among the 3 billion of them on earth to be with forever. There are too many to enjoy. Adam waves and leaves, and the five of us grow quiet for a moment. I like my choice, Reese says honestly, and I have no problem choosing her every day for the rest of my life. It's the best choice there is, and Callie is my only choice. I never nap. It's not productive, and when I wake up, I'm grouchy as fuck and disoriented, but I fell asleep on the sofa in the music room the next day. My ringing phone wakes me, and I fumble it as I push myself into a sitting position. Hello, I say, not even checking the caller ID before answering. Holy shit, you're actually answering, the woman on the other end exclaims, making me wince. Should have checked the fucking caller ID. Hi, Beth, I mumble and rub my hand over my face. What's up? Don't try to pretend that you haven't been dodging me for the past 2 months. I've sent texts almost every day, and I've called at least twice a week. I know, and it annoys the shit out of me. Well, you caught me now. I only have a minute, I lie, and settle in for the tongue-lashing I'm sure to get. I guess you don't have some woman sitting next to you right now, Beth says, her voice dripping with censure. If you did, you'd be ignoring me again. Is there a point to this call? I finally ask. I haven't seen you in 3 months, Declan. That's not okay. I know you're busy with gigs and probably with a whole harem of women, but a lot has happened. I have important news. You won't like it, but you need to hear it from me, in person. I sigh and shake my head. Beth's always been overly dramatic. I honestly don't have time to meet up with you, Beth. Can't you just tell me over the phone? I need 1 hour of your time, Declan Boudreaux, and I'm not hanging up until you agree to give it to me. She's also like a pit bull when she sets her teeth in. Knowing this is a losing battle, and seeing that I really do have to meet up with Callie in less than an hour, I cave. Fine. I have Wednesday night off. I'll meet you for drinks. Dinner, she insists. Come on, you know you miss me. Right, like I miss the flu. I laugh in frustration, pacing the room now. Fine, dinner. But you only get 1 hour, Beth, and then I walk away. Fine. Her voice is smug, and I can just picture the smile on her medically enhanced lips. I want to go somewhere good. You're pushing it. I'll text you Wednesday to confirm. You better, Declan. No more dodging me. You can put the flavor of the week on hold for 1 hour. That's enough, Beth. My voice is cold and hard. I said I'd meet you, and I will. If you keep insulting me, I'll simply tell you to go to hell. Right, she laughs, setting my teeth on edge. You'd never tell me to go to hell, Declan. You love to hate me too much. The hate part is close enough. Goodbye, Beth. I want to punch a wall. Few things make me truly angry in this world, but Beth is right at the top of the list. Knowing I need a half hour in the gym, punching the fuck out of a bag to relieve some of this energy before I see Callie, I shoot her a text. Hey babe, gonna be a little late. A few moments later, she replies. No problem, see you soon. Just seeing those five words from her helps to calm me. I grab my gym bag and lock up, then jog out to my car. Some time with the punching bag is still in order. Better yet, maybe Eli will spar with me. Kicking someone's ass always feels better than the punching bag.
Chapter 15. Callie. I'm scrubbing the kitchen floor on my hands and knees like a woman on the edge. Because I am a woman on the edge, and that just pisses me off. And what do I do when I'm pissed off? I clean. Because I'm a normal, red-blooded American woman, and that's what we do. The same way we go all soft over babies and cry during Hallmark movies and enjoy flowers. And sometimes we say, I love you, during the sweetest, most intimate sex ever. I cringe and sit back on my heels as I dunk my rag in the bucket of warm, soapy water. I can't believe I did that. I mean, it wasn't entirely my fault. I was half asleep, and it was so good, and the words just slipped out. I didn't even remember or realize I said it until this morning when I woke up. But then it hit me. He didn't say it back. It's embarrassing. And I have to see him in a little bit and try to act like everything's normal, when it definitely isn't. Just as I'm calling myself every kind of moron in the book, my phone pings with a text from Deck. Hey, babe, gonna be a little late. Great. We'll just prolong the misery. The bathroom needs a good scrubbing. I quickly text him back and am glaring at the backsplash behind the stove. Wondering how in the bloody hell the marinara sauce ended up on the tile. Doesn't Adam use a lid when he cooks? When the man himself comes sauntering through the front door, a smile on his handsome face. He stops cold when he sees me. Uh-oh, he says. What? I snap, still frowning at the tile. Why is dried tomato sauce so hard to get off? You're mad. I'm cleaning, I reply. Which means you're mad. I shrug, still not looking at him. Want to talk about it? He asks. No, I reply immediately, then quit scrubbing and spin around to face Adam. I don't get men. So you do want to talk about it? I mean, I guess it's not really his fault, and if he's not in the same place I am, it's okay, but damn it. I'm embarrassed. That pisses me off more than anything. Back up. Adam says, shaking his head while he takes a seat at the breakfast bar. What happened? I twist my rag in my hands and frown. Did you hear the part where I said I'm embarrassed?
You can tell me. It can't be that bad.
I said I love you, and he didn't say it back. Adam's eyes get big, then he clears his throat.
Wow, you said the L word?
Yeah. I drop the rag in the bucket, then lean on the counter and bury my face in my hands. I'm so dumb.
You're not dumb, he says. How did you say it?
While we were having sex, I mumble into my hands. Jesus, he must think I'm an idiot.
You don't have anything to be embarrassed about, Adam says,
confidence in his voice. I don't? I look up from my hands and he's smiling. Why?
If you said it during sex, it doesn't count.
He smiles proudly, but I just stare at him, frowning in confusion. Is that guy logic?
You were in the moment, Callie. Maybe you said, oh, I love that, or something. Maybe he didn't hear you.
That's stupid, I announce, and begin pacing around the kitchen. I didn't really mean to let it slip out, but I was still half asleep, and he was going down on me, and he's so good at that, and I couldn't help it.
but he didn't say it back, and now he has to think I'm stupid, or I've freaked him out. My phone buzzes with another text from Declan.
Sorry to do this, but something came up. Been a rough day. I'll definitely be there to walk you to your car after work. Sorry, babe.
See? I show Adam the text, knowing that I sound like a crazy woman and not caring. He's blowing me off. He's never blown me off before. I've made everything weird. I don't bother to respond to Declan. I just toss my phone on the counter and grab a rag to feverishly scrub down the cabinets. You're a pig, by the way. This kitchen is disgusting.
I don't cook in it, he replies, smiling at me. The girls I bring home sometimes do.
Well, they're pigs then. And why are you grinning at me?
Because you make me smile.
I frown, leaning on the broom handle. Why are you so calm? What do you know?
He shakes his head. Nothing. I just think you're overreacting.
If you told a girl that you loved her, he scoffs, but I ignore him and keep going, and she didn't say it back, didn't say anything back, are you telling me that you wouldn't feel like a jackass?
Look, all I'm saying is, maybe he didn't hear you, or maybe it really just has been a bad day. There could be a million reasons why he had to cancel on you today. I mean, why do women always assume the worst?
Because we think about stuff, I reply, as if he's being an idiot. This is important, Adam.
I get it. He holds his hands up in surrender. I'm just saying you're overthinking it. And this is exactly the reason I don't get involved with only one woman.
No, you get involved with every woman in the United States and hurt everyone's feelings, I snap, and then feel bad.
Hey, they know the score, Adam says in his own defense.
Sorry, my voice is soft, and now I'm pissed because I'm on the verge of tears. I just didn't want to make it weird. Maybe he's just not in the same place as me, and that's okay.
I'm going to tell you a secret about men, and you can't tell anyone I told you because if you do, I could lose my man card. Men really aren't that deep. We generally say what we mean, so when he said it's been a tough day and something came up, that's probably the truth. And if he didn't say it back, he either didn't hear you or he thought you were talking about the sex, or his mouth was busy.
He's ticking items off on his fingers, his eyes pointed at the ceiling while he thinks. But you don't think I made it weird?
I don't think so, no.
Okay. I take a deep breath and tighten my ponytail. You just saved me from having to clean the bathroom.
I wouldn't be mad if you cleaned it anyway.
You should clean it, I reply and prop my hands on my hips.
I don't do bathrooms.
You need a maid.
I have you, he says and smirks,
knowing that I'll beat the shit out of him for that remark.
I'll just nudge Declan into pissing you off more often.
You are a jackass.
Yep.
He grins and walks toward his bedroom.
I'm gonna take a nap before work.
Okay. He disappears and I empty the bucket, then put the cleaning supplies away and go to my own bedroom. A nap before work doesn't sound too bad. Since I don't get to see Declan this afternoon, I have time for one. I lie down and sigh. Maybe Adam's right and I'm just overreacting. Maybe he didn't hear me. Did I whisper it? I try to remember, but all I know is that he was making me see stars with that amazing tongue of his. It'll be okay. I'll see him tonight and follow him home after he walks me to my car the way I always do, and things will go back to normal. I hope. It's been a slow night at work. Weeknights usually are this time of year anyway. It's hurricane season and the weather is less predictable, so the tourist crowds slow down. We'll get another rush around Christmas time, so for now we really depend on the weekends to get us through. But that means that during the week I have too much time to think. I usually plan drink specials, but I'm eager to see Declan.
Stop it, Adam murmurs as he passes me on his way to the beer tap. You're doing the girl overthinking thing.
I am not, I lie, and elbow him in the ribs. You are not a mind reader, you know.
When it comes to women, I am, he says and wiggles his eyebrows.
Ew, I shiver. TMI. Finally, the night comes to a close, but Declan hasn't shown up. He usually gets here about a half hour before closing, but he's not around when Adam leaves out the back, locking up on his way, and I go through the front. I lock the door and turn to walk to my car and about jump out of my skin when I see Deck leaning against the building the way he used to when we first reopened.
You scared me.
Sorry, he says with a grin. I just got here, figured I'd wait outside.
You're like a ninja.
I turn on the sidewalk and he falls into step beside me, but he doesn't take my hand like he usually would. So, you had a bad day?
Yeah,
he nods, but doesn't explain further and we fall into an uneasy silence. He seems distracted.
Are you okay? I ask.
Fine.
I nod, the knot in my gut growing. I did screw up. I knew it. I hate this new tension. It's never been here before, not once, even when we tried to do the just friends thing before. And the thought of that makes me nauseous, because if he suggests we go back to being friends, I won't be able to do it. Not with Declan. I'm just too in love with him. Not touching him is killing me. Finally, unable to stand the silence anymore, I blurt. I cleaned today. I cleaned today? That's the best I can come up with. But he looks down at me, truly looking me in the eyes for the first time tonight, and smiles softly. He grabs my hand and squeezes three times as he says, "You're so sweet." And for that second, my world is right again. But he lets go and looks away, and we're right back where we were. I'm so damn confused. Finally, we reach my car. I just want to get back to his place so we can make love and I can ask him what's really wrong. I want to talk this out and make it better. I need to make it better. I need him. When I reach for the handle of the door, he leans in and brushes his lips over the edge of my mouth and backs away. He doesn't kiss the hell out of me or threaten to fuck me right here for the whole French Quarter to see, the way he usually does. He just backs away and without meeting my eyes says, "I'll talk to you tomorrow." Oh, so I'm not invited back to his house. Thrown and at a loss, I just nod and get in the car, and without looking back, I pull away, driving blindly while tears form in my eyes. What in the ever-loving hell just happened? He brushed me off, that's for sure. But was he brushing me off for good? Who was that? Because it certainly wasn't the man I know and have grown to love. It's a good thing it's the middle of the night and that traffic is pretty much non-existent, because I'm not sure how I get back to Adam's. I'm on autopilot as I park and drag myself into the condo, which is dark and empty. Adam must have gone to someone else's place, which suits me just fine. The last thing I need tonight is to hear him fucking some girl in the next room. This way I can have a temper tantrum in peace. I drop my bag on the couch, kick my shoes off, and take my clothes off, dropping them as I walk into my bedroom. I don't give a shit that I've just left a path of clothes from the living room to my room. I'll pick them up eventually. I fall into my bed, pull the covers up to my chin, turn on my side, and let the tears come. I've screwed everything up. Declan is so uncomfortable around me that he can't even look at me, let alone touch me. He doesn't want me around tonight, and I always go back to his place after work. I've stayed in this room maybe a half a dozen nights since I started seeing Declan. So the fact that the tension was so thick I could cut it with a knife, and he doesn't want me at his house, says this is pretty much over between us. And oh, how it hurts. My whole body aches as I cry it out. And when I've shed all the tears I have inside me, I start to get a little mad. Or a lot mad. I've had to walk on eggshells around men my whole life. I refuse to do it now. If Declan can't handle my feelings, that's not my problem, and I can't regret telling him that I love him because I do. So much. I have to be true to myself. I deserve that. And damn it, I'm going to keep being honest with myself and everyone else in my life. I'm done pussyfooting around. So screw Declan and his weird mood and his brushing me off. I guess the bathroom is going to get scrubbed after all. I climb out of bed, throw on my ragged old sweats and a t-shirt, fill my trusty bucket, and get to work on the bathroom. By the time Adam rolls through the door approximately 3 hours later, the rest of the condo shines.
"You're here," he says in surprise. His eyelids are heavy, his clothes rumpled, and his hair a mess from someone's fingers.
"Nothing wrong with your eyes," I reply, finally tired.
"And judging by the smell and look of the place, last night didn't go well, huh?"
I sigh and shake my head, rinsing out the bucket. "No, it didn't."
"Wanna talk about it?"
he asks with a yawn. He scratches his chest. "No, I really don't, Adam. But thanks."
"Wanna snuggle?"
he offers as he hugs me. But I can smell another woman on him, and although he isn't mine, I still don't like it. "No, you smell like sex," I say, pulling away.
"I'll shower."
"I really want to be left alone." He nods.
"Okay. I'm sorry, Cal."
I shrug. You win some, and you lose some. Despite the exhaustion, sleep doesn't come easy. I toss and turn for what feels like hours before I get up and take an allergy pill that isn't non-drowsy, and then when I do sleep, it's fitful. I dream of Declan, but he's mean. He's laughing at me as he takes another woman by the hand and walks away from me. I don't know who the girl is, and it doesn't matter. He wants her, and not me. Then Keith is there saying,
"I told you I'd never love you, Callie. You're fun, but not the kind of girl someone loves."
I shake my head, trying to run away, but my feet won't move. Why won't they move? I can hear people laughing, but my head is heavy. I can't look up from my feet. I can only see lots of feet, of people standing close together, and they're laughing. Finally, I fight to raise my head, and everyone's there. Adam, my father, Declan, and all of his family. Keith, and the people I used to work with in Denver. And they're all laughing at me. I'm so embarrassed. I want to run, but my feet still won't move, and when I look back down, I'm naked. Oh my God, why am I naked? I push away from a brick wall that's just appeared, and I slowly float into the air. But my feet are heavy, and I land just a short hop away. But there's a pole, and I try to hide behind it. Holy shit, I'm naked! And they're laughing, and I can't get away. I'm sweating, and Adam keeps saying,
"Stop it, Callie."
But then he laughs again and points at me. My face is wet. Is it raining?
Callie.
I'm shaken awake, and Adam is in the bed with me, holding me against him.
"Come on, baby. Wake up now."
"Stop laughing at me," I whimper, hating the weakness in my voice. The sun is up, shining in my window. I forgot to pull the blinds when I went to bed. And Adam is wrapped around me. He took a shower because he smells clean. I burrow into him, crying harder than I have in years, as his hands rub circles on my back and he kisses my head.
"It's okay, sweetie. You're okay. It was just a dream."
"It was horrible."
"Shh."
He's brushing my hair back from my face. Half of it is stuck to both dried and wet tears on my face, and it feels good when he brushes it back.
"Just a dream.
So cruel.
Who, baby?
Everybody.
The tears come harder.
Laughing at me, telling me I'm not lovable.
Well, that's a load of shit, he says, and kisses my forehead. Because I love you.
I love you too,
I whisper.
God, it feels good to hear someone say it. I feel so ashamed.
For loving me? No need. I'm lovable too.
No,
I say, smiling despite myself.
Because of Declan.
Stop it right now, Callie.
He takes my chin in his hand and tilts my head back so he can see my face.
Stop beating yourself up. Calm down and go back to sleep for a few hours.
Will you stay?
I ask, holding on to him like he's a lifeline. Always. You know that.
We both sigh as we cling to each other, and I feel him fall asleep, his chest moving rhythmically with each breath, and that makes my eyes heavy, and I follow him into a dreamless sleep.
Chapter 16. Callie. I haven't seen him at all since he walked me to my car Monday night. He's called twice and texted a couple of times, but that's it. He's backing away, and I feel so powerless because there's nothing I can do to stop it. He feels the way he feels, and that's that. We have a standing dinner date on Wednesdays, so I'm looking forward to seeing him and really talking. It's always been so easy to talk to him. This shouldn't be any different. Is it going to suck? Yes. But damn it, this sucks too, and I'd rather have some answers. I'm at the bar before noon to go over the books and to take a look at the space next door that just went up for sale. I've done well enough in the past 3 months that I am seriously considering an expansion. I'd like to add a dance floor and maybe even a full kitchen for a menu. It'll be expensive and would require quite a renovation, which excites me. Adam arrives around 1 to look at the other space with me. I don't say much to the realtor as we look, but I can picture it all perfectly in my mind. It's going to be badass. When we say goodbye to the realtor and return to the bar, I turn and give Adam a wide smile. I loved it. It's going to be a ton of work, he says, returning my grin. And I agree, it would be awesome. Can we afford it?
Here's the thing. We sit at one of the tables. I don't think I can afford it alone. I can probably get a loan using the bar as collateral, but I'd rather not have to do that.
Callie, I have plenty of money, Adam says. I'm happy to loan it to you.
I don't want a loan, Adam. I want a partner.
He sits back and narrows his eyes. A partner?
Absolutely. You're just as invested in this place as I am. Probably more, actually.
I lick my lips and tuck my hair behind my ear.
I can't run this place without you, and we already bounce ideas off each other like partners. Let's just make it official.
I told you from the beginning, my dad should have left it to you. Are you sure this is what you want? Absolutely positive?
I'm sure. I nod and smile at my friend.
So are you in? I'm in.
We shake hands and then laugh, excited all over again.
Call the realtor chick and tell her she has a sale.
I make the call and she assures me that she'll get the paperwork started right away. Just as I hang up with her, a text comes in from Declan.
I won't be able to make it to dinner tonight. I'll see you later.
And just like that, my bubble is burst. I sigh in disappointment. But before I can think on it too hard, my phone rings with a number from Denver.
Hello?
Hi, Cal, Keith says, making me raise a brow.
It's good to hear your voice.
Okay, I reply, not sure what else to say.
What's up?
Well, I'd like to see you, he says, and I pull the phone away from my ear and stare at it.
Wait, you called Callie Mills, you know that, right?
You're exactly who I meant to call, Callie, he says, a smile in his voice. I know it's been a few months.
It's been 8 months, I reply, and I don't have time for this.
I'll come to you, he says. I know you're busy with the business. I don't expect you to clear your schedule for a trip.
How kind of you, I reply and roll my eyes. But the answer is still no, Keith.
Callie.
But before he can say anything else, I hang up.
He has nerve, I say as I join Adam behind the bar. I don't care enough about Keith to give him even 5 minutes of my time.
Good girl, Adam says with a smile. Where are you and Declan going for dinner tonight?
We aren't, I sigh. He just canceled.
He cocks a brow. How do you feel about that?
You know, I'm just getting impatient. I wish he'd just talk to me so I can tell him to get a grip, and if he can't handle me, he doesn't deserve me.
I like it when you're badass, Adam says with a grin. It's hot.
Damn right it is, I reply and wink, just as Kate O'Shaughnessy walks through the door. Hi, Kate.
Hi. I know the sign says you're not open yet, but the door was open.
No worries. What's up?
Well, Eli's out of town tonight for business, and we live just a few blocks over. I was thinking I could take you out for dinner tonight. We haven't had a chance to really talk.
Actually, dinner just opened up for me tonight, I reply with a nod.
I'd like that.
Great. I'll come get you about 6. I have to get back to the office. Have a great day.
She rushes out and I turn back to Adam. Maybe out of all of this, I'll have made some of those girlfriends you've been wishing for, I say to him.
As long as some of them are hot and